Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. There is a widespread misconception that God the Father is the God of the Old Testament and Jesus emerges in the New Testament. This is far from the truth. Jesus is not a created being, but was God incarnated in human form through Mary. The Son of God was directly involved in the creation and appears numerous times in the Old Testament. Jesus is both Lord and Creator, responsible for the Old Testament and fulfilling its prophecies through his incarnation in the New Testament. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And we're going to deviate our teaching here for a few weeks. And I'm going to be speaking on, I wrote a book in 2017 called The God of the Old Testament. And I'm going to be preaching on that because it's a very important subject, and that we really got to hang on that. So let's pray right now. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now that I have a pulpit. And Father God, that I have a chance to speak, not only here in the chapel, Father God, but my words are spoken in other states, in other nations. And that's a privilege, Father God, and a responsibility. Thank you for anointing me right now. And anoint everyone listening so we can learn. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. But let's start with an introduction. In speaking to a lot of Christians over the years, I found that most believe that God the Father is a God of the Old Testament and that Jesus is a God of the New Testament. This is not only theologically wrong, but it's a false teaching that has permeated the Christian church and been repeated so long that people rely upon it as truth. Studying this material now, and the company audio video is a, when we have people come here for deliverance, we tell them this, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to go through this material, the God of the Old Testament, to make sure that they understand and know who we are, why we're here, and who's in charge. I did not know this when I was growing up. Let me tell you what my belief system was. I believed that we had God the Father. I believed that Jesus was born in Bethlehem and that he had not existed before. I thought his existence started 2,000 years ago, and I had not really understood the Holy Spirit. So I had a very shallow understanding. Jesus is the Creator. The Bible teaches that God is one, but that he expressed himself in three forms: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. This is something that is hard to understand. It's hard to understand when I try to explain to you earlier today, that we have a body, a soul, and a spirit. It's hard to understand that. It's hard to understand that your thinking is not done in your physical brain. It's done in your soul brain. All your memories, everything you learn is stored in the soul brain, not in the physical brain. Because when your body dies, your physical brain goes with the body, goes in the grave. And if you were in the physical brain, you will cease to exist. So the physical brain is a computer that was created to run the body. We are automatic. The temperature is controlled. I don't have to worry about breathing. It's on automatic control. I don't have to worry about blinking. It's automatic. The only thing that is not automatic is I do have to pick up the food for the plate, and I got to put it in the mouth. I have to chew. That's not automatic. I cannot put it in and then simply say, okay, chew. No, I got to chew. I got to swallow. But once I swallow it, it's all automatic. It's not wonderful. You don't have to worry about how to digest it, how to extract this and extract that. So we are fully automatic, except I don't control my heart. I can stop my breathing for maybe 2 minutes, and then the automatic system takes over, and I go, oh, I had to breathe. So, what I'm trying to tell you now is this. Jesus was incarnated. That's the difference. Jesus was incarnated into a physical body that was birthed by Mary. Let's repeat this. Jesus has always existed. He's God. He doesn't have a birthday. You and I have been incarnated. We have not existed for eternity. We have a beginning when our soul was made. But our soul was incarnated into this physical body. And when the body dies, we are going to two places. We either go into heaven or we're going to go to hell. The common teaching now among the Jewish leadership during that day when Jesus was here was that the Messiah, which means the anointed one, would be a man empowered by God like Samson. And this is still the belief among Jews today. I want us to turn to Judges. So if you have your Bible, turn to Judges with me. I'm going to read a few verses. And we're going to go to chapter 13. And we're going to pick it up here. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and barren out. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, woman, behold now, you are barren, but bearest not, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray you, and drink not wine, nor strong drink, eat not any unclean thing. For lo, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God. Very terrible, but I asked him not whence he was, neither told he me his name. But he said unto me, behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine, no strong drink, neither eat you an unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my God, let the man of God which you did send come again unto us, and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman, as she sat in the field, but Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband, and said to him, Behold, the man has appeared unto me, and they came unto me the other day. And Manoah arose and went to his wife, and came to the man, and said unto him, Are you the man that spake unto the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, Now let the words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, Of all that I said to the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that comes of the wine, neither let drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray you, that detain you unto me shall be have made ready a kid for you. And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, Though you detain me, I will not eat of your bread, and if you will offer me a burnt offering, you must offer it to the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, What is your name? And when your saying come to pass, we may do you honor. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Why do you ask of my name, seeing it is secret? And Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered up the rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass, when a flame went out toward heaven from off the altar, that an angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. The reason I read this is that Jewish people today have been told that just like we had Samson here was born, and he was going to be a powerful man, the Messiah is going to be the same. By the time Jesus had arrived, and this has been twisted from this scripture here, and we have it in what is called the Kabbalah teaching, which is a Jewish teaching. And the Jews are told that the Messiah is going to be a man anointed by God, similar to Samson. And he will have power, supernatural, and he's going to take control of the entire world, and he's going to rule, and the Jews are going to be top of the world. When Jesus came to the earth, and he started teaching, the Jewish leadership were furious. And the reason was that Jesus said, I am God. And they said, no, that's not right. That's not our Messiah. Our Messiah is like Samson. And the reason for the crucifixion of Jesus was because he said, I am God. I've seen the Father. And they said, we have to kill this guy. So going back now to our outline here. So Samson was not incarnated. He was just like you and I. His soul was made. His soul was put into a human body. He was incarnated, but the soul had been created. He had not lived before. When Jesus was incarnated, He has always existed. He is God. And he simply went into that physical body that Mary and Joseph had produced for him. And he used that body on earth. But he was God. He was not a soul. Jesus was God inhabiting a human body, while the Jewish Messiah is merely a man anointed by God. This is a big distinction. Christians take it for granted our Messiah is divine, whereas the Messiah of Judaism is only a man. When the Jewish Messiah shows up, he would shock the Jews by entering the temple and making the declaration of being God. And we read this here. And this is from, we're going to read right now from 1 John. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by gathering together to him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letters from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except to come a falling away first, that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposed and exalted himself by all that is called God, and that is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple and showing himself to be God. Remember you not, when I was yet with you, I told you these things. This is from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 5, 1 and 5. So this man is going to come and say, I'm God. He's the Antichrist. The Jews rejected the divinity of Jesus. Anyone who claims that Jesus was not God in the flesh has a spirit of the Antichrist. Let's think about that for a couple of minutes. Any person that says that Jesus did not come in the flesh is of the Antichrist. All Jewish people that reject Jesus as the Son of God, they have the spirit of Antichrist. All Muslims that reject Jesus as the Son of God has the spirit of the Antichrist. All Buddhists and other religions that say we do not believe that there is a Son of God, they have the spirit of the Antichrist. Let's read now from 1 John chapter 4, 1 through 6. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit where there are God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know you the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. What does that mean? It simply means we believe is that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they are one, and yet they are three. And we believe that the part of God that is called the Son came and was incarnated into a physical body. Hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ did come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist. Whereof you have heard that he should come, and even now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. They are in the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He that knows God hears us. He that is not of God hears not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. There is a demon of error, and the Holy Spirit is a spirit of truth. Now, when Jesus made himself equal with God, it enraged the Jews to the point that they wanted to kill him. Let's turn here to the Gospel of John and chapter 8. The Gospel of John, you don't have it in the outline. And we're going to go to chapter 8, and we're going to pick it up here at verse number 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews who believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How do you say then you should be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, said to you, whosoever commits sin is of the servant of sin. And the servant abides not in the house forever, but the Son abides forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father." They answered and said unto him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said unto them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father." Then said unto him, "We be not born of fornication. We have our father, even God." Jesus said unto them, "If God were your father, you should love me, for I proceed forth and come from God. Neither came I myself, but he that sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? You are your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." And let me go down to verse number 55. "Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Then said the Jews unto him, "You are not 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." That's the name of God that was given to Moses. "Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Back to the outline here now. When the Apostle John wrote his account of the life of Jesus, he wanted to make sure the people understood from the onset that Jesus was both God and the Creator. And we read here in 1 John chapter 1, "In the beginning was a Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, the darkness comprehended not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light. That was a true light, which lightens every man that comes into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, John defines the Word as Jesus. Let us make a substitution and read the first four verses again. In the beginning was Jesus. Jesus was with God. Jesus was God. Jesus was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Jesus, and without Jesus was not anything made that was made. In Jesus was life, and the life was the light of men. The Apostle Paul also stated that Jesus is the Creator. In 1 Corinthians 8:6, we read this, But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom all things, and we are in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom all things, and we by him. So Jesus is the Creator. So now we've established we've got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 15:22 through 28, we read this. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ is coming. Then comes the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, for he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is manifest that he accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also come, also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Now we're going to remove the pronouns to make it easier to understand. Same verses now, but now we have taken out the pronouns, we put the names in. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, after they that are at Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when Jesus shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when Jesus shall put down all rule and all authority and power. For Jesus must reign till Jesus put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For God has put all things under Jesus' feet. But when God says all things are put under Jesus, it is manifest that God is accepted, which did put all things under Jesus. And when all things shall be subdued unto Jesus, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto God, that put all things under Jesus, that God may be all in all. Why is it important that we understand that Jesus is the Creator? Why is it important that we know his God? I'm going a little bit outside the text here now. But the atonement was not made by animal sacrifices. It was God himself that reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. When Jesus hung on the cross, the Father was there and the Son was there. God reconciled the world by himself, because no sinful man could pay the price. No one could atone for the sin of the human race. It had to be God himself. Let's talk about clear teaching by Paul here now. It is in a letter to the church of Colossae that Paul made it crystal clear that Jesus is the Creator. By default, this also makes Jesus the God of the Old Testament. There's nothing in this universe that was not made by Jesus. For this cause, we also, the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord into all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthen with all might, according to the glory of power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness, hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him, Jesus, were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether be thrones or dominions or principalities, powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he's the head of the body, the church, which is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. What this means to you and me is simply this. God is one, God is three. You and I are triune. You got a body, soul, and if you're saved, you got a spirit. We were created in the image of God, we are told in Genesis chapter 1. The angels were not created in the image of God. Angels are dual. They have a spirit, and they got an angelic body. They are dual. Animals are dual. They got a soul and a body. The human race is the only race in the universe created in the image of God. Body, soul, and spirit. And this is why the Bible says that in the next life, we will have a higher status than the angels, because when we have been redeemed, we are created in the image of God. The angels are not. Jesus in the Old Testament, it was Jesus that created Adam and Eve and walked with them in the garden on a daily basis. Let's turn to Genesis and read a couple of verses here. Genesis chapter 2. And we pick it up in verse number 7. 2:7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And then we read in the same chapter, we read this. And the Lord, in verse number 18, the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmate for him. And under the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. Whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and fowl of the air and to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found a helpmate for him. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, He had surgery here. And he slept. And Jesus took one of his ribs, closed it up in the flesh instead of off, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made a woman, and brought her to the man. A woman was cloned. She was cloned by the cells from Adam. Adam was created from the dust. And Adam said, now this is not bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, shall cleave with his wife, and they shall be one flesh. They were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Notice now, the woman's body was created by cloning. But the soul that Eve got was straight from heaven. Women have souls. Now, it was not until about 700 A.D. that there was a big church council where it was decided that women had souls. Prior to that, women had no value. Jesus is the one that liberated women. And they haven't understood that. On the last page here, we're going to look in Exodus chapter 3. That's the book of Exodus, the third chapter. And let me get to it. Exodus chapter 3 and verses 1 through 6. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the backside and the desert came unto the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire in the midst of the fire in the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that, he turned aside to see. God called him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And he said, draw not nigh here to put on your shoes of your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Moses met Jesus. God the Father has never come down to earth. He is a spirit. Jesus came down. Jesus had a spirit body. He does have a spirit body. Jesus does not have a soul. Jesus is Jesus. He's a spirit, and yet he has a body. He had a body where it could be seen. It was Jesus who led the children of Israel for 40 years. In 1 Corinthians 10, at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we're going to read the following. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to pick it up in verses 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I will not you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and the sea. And did all eat the same spiritual meat. And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. So Jesus is the one that did all the different things that we have read about in the Old Testament. Our last scripture here is found in Joshua. And We're going to read chapter 5. That's Joshua, chapter 5. And we're going to pick it up in verse number 13 and 15. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him, with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said unto him, Are you for us or for our adversaries? Now Joshua saw a man, because Jesus many times take, it looks like a man. And he said, Nay, but as a captain of the host of the Lord, I am not come. And Joshua fell on his face for the earth and did worship, and said unto him, What says my Lord unto his servants? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose your shoes from off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. He told him the same thing he told Moses, Take your shoes off. You're standing on holy ground. And Joshua did so. Jesus is the God of the Old Testament. So what I try to establish here today is this. Jesus is God. We have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Jesus was incarnated. Jesus does not have a birthday. His body does. But he does not have one. He has always existed. And always will exist. They are eternal. Some might say, well, what did God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit do before they started this creation? We don't know. I want to leave you with these thoughts. If God has always existed, and in the Bible we see how creative he is. You look at the universe, you see how creative he is. It is obvious that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit did not sit for eternity and like this. And you simply say, okay, let's wait until we're going to do the creation. They've done stuff before. We don't know it. God simply decided we don't need to know that. When we get to heaven, we're going to find out a lot of things. And a lot of us are going to say, man, was I dense on earth? I didn't understand this or that. You and I are created beings. You have a soul, as I started out with. You have a beginning, but we have no end. Do you know why God created hell and the lake of fire? When God created the souls, they are eternal. They cannot die. They are made of eternal matter. And those souls that are not born again and saved, they got to be warehoused someplace. He cannot just simply let them loose because those souls would tear things up again. So the reason he got the lake of fire, that's a warehouse. To keep the souls that will always exist, but refused salvation. And they did not get saved. Someone says, well, people in Japan, Congo, some other place, they didn't hear the gospel. Here's the problem. How many people came out after the flood of Noah? Noah, his wife, 3 sons, 3 wives, 8 people. Did they have knowledge of God? You better believe it. Noah was a preacher for 100 years. They had full knowledge. What did they do? They did not set up an educational system and simply say, we have to educate our children and grandchildren and so on. Noah started to have a vineyard. He became a drunk. His sons did not set anything up. If I do not tell the gospel to this person over here, it's my fault. But he has to go to hell. Catch that. I will go to heaven because I'm born again. But the people that I'm in contact with on earth, and I made a choice not to talk to them about Jesus, they would pay for that. That's why it is so important that we evangelize, because we have knowledge. So if you're going to really do what God wants you to do, we need to evangelize. I want you to think about this. Somebody told you about the gospel. Everyone of us in this chapel, everyone watching or listening now or later, somebody told you about Jesus. And because somebody told you about Jesus, the Holy Spirit convicted you of your sins, and you responded and you were born again. Somebody talked to you. That's why if we don't talk to people, but we have an opportunity, it doesn't mean you go to the grocery store, stand in the middle aisle, and start screaming, "Everybody shut up! I'm going to tell you about Jesus." No. It means that you witness to those people you have access to. People you know. People you might be standing someplace, waiting for the bus, if I can use that term. You're waiting for the bus to come. Somebody comes up and stands beside you. And what we do, we say, "Oh, hi, how are you today?" "Oh, fine." "You like the weather?" "Yeah, I like the weather. You know, it's kind of nice for you now, this and that." So you strike up a conversation. But instead of saying, you know, "Do you know Jesus? Are you saved? Are you born again?" We talk about weather and wind. Because we don't want to offend them. I'd rather be offended and end up in heaven than not to be offended and end up in hell. So the bottom line I want to share with you today is this. Jesus is a God of the Old Testament, and we need to tell people that. Because if you don't tell them, if you're saved, you still go to heaven, but they go to hell. If you watch me today and you are not saved, and you says, "I really want to be born again, I want to be saved," this is your opportunity today. Here's what you do. Confess that you're a sinner, and you know you're a sinner. Say, "God, I'm sorry for my sins. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe he died on the cross, rose on the third day. I believe on the cross he paid for my sins. And I want to be saved. Jesus, come into my life and save me. Come in and save me, Jesus." And he will do that. When we finish here, the last prayer, your screen will change. Three crosses will come up. And Pastor Charles will take about 10 minutes. And he will explain to you exactly how to be saved again. So you would know for sure. It's just like you buy an airline ticket. You got to make sure that you buy the right destination, to go to the right destination. But you have you get your ticket. When you get saved today, let us know. I'd like to rejoice with you and say, "God bless you. I want to pray for you." And to those of you that are watching, think about this. Two things today. Jesus is the God of the Old Testament. And number two, if you do not share the gospel with people that are around you, you still go to heaven, but they go to hell. Let that sink in, and let that be a motivating power for you to witness. God bless you, Soteros.
Thank you, Lord. Praise you. Father, we appreciate you. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. What a blessing it is, O Lord, to know you, to be called by you, to be chosen by you, Lord. And it's wonderful, Lord, to declare your marvelous works. Oh, thank you, Heavenly Father. And you want us also, Lord, as it says, 2 Timothy 2:24, the man of God must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. For peradventure God will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will, the devil's will. And we want to thank you, Lord, that we also, yeah, we have to approach people in a gentle way, And we thank you, praise you, Heavenly Father, for using us, O Lord, for taking advantage of every opportunity that comes along our way, we pray in the name of Jesus. And we want to thank you, praise you, Father, for a good lesson today for us. Yes, oh, Lord, we always, oh, Lord, strengthen, encourage, and learn more about the Bible. We never have enough. And we want to thank you, praise you, Heavenly Father, for using us, oh, Lord. And the pastor said to evangelize. Yes, we need to evangelize. And it's wonderful, Lord, to make a difference. There are many people around us, Lord, that do not know the Lord. And every opportunity we have, we need to take advantage of. And we thank you, praise you, Heavenly Father. If we are a good point we can make to the Jehovah Witnesses, to tell them, not Jehovah, but Jesus Christ was the one of the Old Testament. That would be a good point to make to them and many others as well, that they think that God the Father is the one. And we want to thank you, praise you, Heavenly Father, for victory in this body of believers. Thank you, Lord, that another lesson that we learned today, we pray in the name of Jesus, and we thank you, praise you, Heavenly Father, all that we may be equipped to preach the word and be stand in season and out of season. Lord, we want to give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor today, and pray this prayer in Jesus' precious and a mighty name, and all God's children said, amen. Amen. And amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth, and your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23,
for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now you might say, well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something? Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just 1 commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7-8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the first part in the series, The God of the Old Testament, and was entitled, The Divine Identity of Jesus. There is a widespread misconception that God the Father is the God of the Old Testament, and Jesus emerges in the New Testament. Jesus is not a created being, but was God incarnated in human form through Mary. There is a profound difference between the divine Messiah and the Jewish expectation of a mere man anointed by God. Jesus' claim to divinity angered the Jewish leaders, leading to his crucifixion. Nevertheless, it established him as the creator and sustainer of all things. Jesus was directly involved in the formation of creation and appears numerous times in the Old Testament. The Son of God spent time with Adam and Eve,
visited Abraham with two angels, wrestled with Jacob, spoke to Moses from the burning bush, led Israel through the wilderness, and appeared to Joshua before the battle of Jericho. Jesus is both Lord and Creator. He is the same God responsible for the Old Testament and fulfilling it through His incarnation in the New Testament. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 2036. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.